But he's a national radio commentator, a public speaker, and you'll find that out, and a New York Times best-selling author. But biggest claim to fame is he's been twice elected as a Texas Agricultural Commissioner. And you know, this guy taught me how to make a small fortune in agriculture. Anybody else know how to do it? Start with a big one. Yeah. Hey, it took a couple of you a while to get that one. Start with a small bit, okay. Right. And with that, you're going to enjoy yourself, so sit back, strap on your saddle, and welcome Jim Hightower. Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes, so much, and all of you good folks. What a treat to be here with you and to be with Senator Wes Schumacher. I realize he's a big man down at the state capitol, but I've learned that if you rendered a BS out of him, he'd probably fit in a matchbox. Don't you?
Pretty well got that. I got my master's in BS.
Thank you all for allowing a scruffy Texas populace to come in here and be a part of your Democratic days. And indeed, I do come to you from the former state of Texas. We're now secessionist republic of Republican ridiculousness, thanks to our Republican governor over there, who, by the way, puts the goober in gubernatorial. I think you know what I'm talking about. It does, though, just make me happier than a flea at a dog show to be standing up here and looking out at all this packed house. I mean, we rolled out into the anteroom over there. If you can do Missouri Democrats, you stand-up fighters for the middle class, you Roy Blunt butt kickers, you Robin Carnahan for Senate cheerleaders, we're going to make that happen. Let me just dwell on that a moment. What an impact you can have in this one election, not just to help the workaday folks of the good state of Missouri, but to help bring more economic fairness, more social justice, more economic opportunity to all of America. A U.S. senator does serve from a state, but a U.S. senator represents us all in this country. The votes, the action, the behind-the-scenes aggressiveness, agitation that a senator can provide is extraordinary, and big change can happen. I mean, take Roy Blunt, please. For all of us, do this favor, all of us in America. In one election cycle, you can take out two negatives, Kit Bond and Roy Blunt. And bring us one bright, shining, positive in the form of Robin. Now, what, you know, Ken Hubbard was a humorous sort of a Will Rogers type at the turn of the last century, and he once said that every now and then an innocent person gets sent to Congress. And that's the opportunity that you have to bring to us here. And I'm here mainly to say that, indeed, we can do this. Yes, they've got the fat cats, as Robin was just saying, more corporate lobbying money than anybody else in the Senate. Now, that is a high, very high standard to try to reach. But this Blunt guy has got it. They got the fat cats, but we got the alley cats, and that would be y'all. What a difference just a couple of years makes. Remember, it was not that long ago that Karl Rove was cock-a-doodle-doodling out of the White House and talking about how he created a permanent Republican majority in our country. We had Tom DeLay, from my state, the boss of the House, he called him, because of his corporate lobbying connection. But now, Karl Rove is gone. Tom DeLay is jiggling his flabby butt on a TV dance show. And he's looking at doing time in the big house because of corporate money laundering. You know, when DeLay first got indicted over there in Texas, one of his Republican colleagues said, well, sometimes Tom is his own worst enemy. And I said, not while I'm alive, he's not. But Tom DeLay's own best friend is your boy, Roy. I've been looking at this guy, been watching him. I don't want to watch it. It's kind of like watching a car wreck just slowly taking place out there. But it was Tom DeLay who plucked him from obscurity to become DeLay's ventriloquist dummy, just meep, meep, meep. And Blunt has been a loyal corporate sycophant working with the Wall Street banksters and the healthcare giants and other lobbyists pushing the corporate ideology of tinkle-down economics on you and me, running roughshod over common taxpayers, over consumers, over working families, over family farmers. You saw that deal with the Wall Street bonuses just handed out just a month ago. Goldman Sachs themselves, just one company, paid themselves $16 billion in bonus money for stealing from us, essentially. And then Goldman Sachs apologized for that by saying, well, it's true that we do take a good bit of bonus money, but we deserve it. And second of all, we're generous people, and we're charitable sort of people. And so we have set up a $1 billion fund to help those who are not as well placed as we are, a $1 billion charity. I'm going to tell you a quick story about what the gods think of charity. Some of y'all are going to go to church in the morning, I would imagine, so let's get in the spirit right here. This is a story that Earl Long used to tell down when he was governor down here in Louisiana. Told about a rich man who died and tried to get into heaven. But as you know, you don't just march through the pearly gates. You go to appear, and there's an angel outside who reviews your life. And then St. Peter decides whether you get to come in those gates or not. So here comes this rich man. And the angel looks over his life and says, my God, you never did no good for nobody, no way. What are you doing here? And the rich man said, well, now that's not entirely true. In 1924, there was a widow woman, needed carfare home, and I gave her a nickel. And the angel said, so? And he said, well, 1934, there's a blind beggar man on the street, and I put a nickel in his cup. The angel said, this doesn't make up for a life of greed. And the rich man said, well, now, wait a minute, because I've got a consistent pattern of giving. In 1944, I was coming out of my bank, and there was a Salvation Army kettle. At Christmas time, I put a nickel in that kettle. And so the angel turns back to St. Peter and said, what in the world are we going to do with this man? And St. Peter said, give him back his 15 cents and tell him to go to hell. It is not charity we are after, is it? We want economic fairness, social justice, equal opportunity for all people. That's why the Democratic Party exists. Now Tom DeLay is gone, and Roy Blunt quickly lost power. Essentially, he's fallen into that Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole of right-wing nutballism. Do you know he chairs something called the House Republican Healthcare Solutions Group? Solutions Group. Now, there's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. This Healthcare Solutions Group exists not to propose solutions, but to oppose any solutions that might actually work. For example, Medicare for all. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Why can't we all have Medicare? No, we have Roy himself coming out. This is a direct quote. Medicare has never done anything to make people more healthy. He's as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. He seemed not to have a clue. Hang on here. Well, this is why your efforts, your Missouri Democratic Party, are so crucial, so promising. Your Democratic days, I love the slogan that's on the front of your program there, dedicated to grassroots workers, USA. That's exactly what makes Democrats work. What makes Democrats succeed is the grassroots effort, not the big money, but the grassroots effort. You know, they say that the first job of a citizen is to keep your mouth open, and we're pretty good at that. But it helps if that mouth is attached to a brain. And that is what you do through your party organization and your organizing, from the precinct level right on up. You provide the information and insight, the veracity and the vision, the organizing and mobilizing to link that brain power to mouth power, to convert that into foot power that then makes political power in our country, raising common sense to high places, raising Robin Callahan to the U.S. Senate, Carnahan. sorry. Look at him. I compare your efforts and the party efforts generally to a hardware store that's right near my home in Austin, Texas. It's a great little hardware store. It's about half the size of this room right here, not a big box store at all, called Harold's Hardware, and it's a great place. You can go in there, and Robin, you don't have to buy the whole box of nails. They would sell you one or two or three nails. They'll work with you. What are you trying to build? They'll say, well, I want to make a podium here. Well, let's pencil it out and see what you need. They'll loan you a tool. You can take the tool home and bring it back. And the slogan at Harold's Hardware is, together we can do it yourself. Now, that's got to be our slogan, doesn't it? We can't do it ourselves. We need all of us together in this. And this task that Robin is taking on behalf of us, not for her, as she indicated, is an idiotic pursuit. It's just impossible to run for office in big offices. I've done that myself. It's no easy task at all, and she can't do it herself. But together, we can all make this happen, not for her, but for us in Missouri and us working families and folks all across this country. That's what we're talking about, is taking power back to the grassroots level based on those values. The insider forces of ignorance and arrogance and avarice want to cling to the status quo, faithfully represented by their boy, Roy, a blunt instrument for business as usual, as far as I can tell. A farmer friend once told me about the status quo, and he said, Hightower, that's Latin for the mess we're in. We don't need more status quo. We need real change, aggressive change. This reality about the financial powers that are behind Blunt's campaign requires each of us outsiders to go right at the insidious insiders. Henry David Thoreau said, never wear your best trousers when fighting for truth and justice. That's our challenge. We better not just roll up those sleeves, but be willing to get out there and roll in the grassroots and get a little messy in the process, because that's what democracy is all about. And I can tell you from experience in Texas politics, despite what the Buddhists say, in politics, change does not come from within. Indeed, it comes only from the outside, from good people like you, unabashedly rallying thousands of other outsiders to battle the insiders. I grew up as a small guy in a Texas town, and I learned early on you should never hit a man with glasses. You should use something much heavier. Well, my message to you is this. I'm sure you're wondering what it is. Besides electing Robin Carnahan, my message is it's up to us. Up to us. It's not up to Robin, not to all these other great candidates that you've got out here, not to the political pros, not to the money boys, but to you and me. I'll tell you one of the little Buddhist stories. My last book, we wrote this up. It was about a tourist who was in Bangkok and came out of the great temple. And in the glare of the sunlight, here was a monk standing over here in full regalia. And so the tourist indicated, could I snap your picture? The monk nodded, posed, took the picture. Over here was a boy selling water. So he bought a bottle of water to get to the monk. And he paid for the water and waited for his change, but his change was not forthcoming. And he thought there was a language problem. And so he said to the boy, and kind of pronounced to the mouthing of the words, said, don't I get change? And the boy looked up at him and looked over at the monk and then looked back and right up at him and in perfect English said, change comes from within. And it has to come from within us. Again, it's not going to be the money that does it. It's the integrity and the power of the message and the passion that we bring to it behind Robin Carnahan and her great family, extending that to the larger population. Democracy is us, always has been, always will be. You know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, none of those created democracy. They merely allowed it. There wasn't much democracy at the founding. The very first presidential election, electing George Washington, only 4% of the people were even eligible to vote. If you were a woman, you couldn't vote. If you were Native American, you were a heathen, you couldn't vote. If you were African American, you were a slave, you were not allowed to vote. If you did not own land, you could not vote. So it's not those documents of democracy that we celebrate. Rather, it is the ensuing generations and decades of people just like you and me who fought to democratize those documents. That's what made the difference. Shays' Rebellion, the pamphleteers, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, the abolitionists, the suffragists, the populists, the labor leaders, Samuel Gompers, Eugene Debs, Mother Jones, Joe Hill, John L. Lewis, Walter Ruther, and right on down the line, Ida Tarbell and Upton Sinclair, Rachel Carson and Karen Silkwood, Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King Jr. That's the movement. That's the progression that we've made as a nation, and that brings us to the possibility of egalitarianism. Democracy always comes down to ground-level movements. Ground-level movements, pushing and shoving, demanding, protesting, and organizing. For real change, not as a slogan, real change. That's what we want. We're not electing politicians to go to Washington because they're good people, because they say the right thing in the campaigns. We're electing them because we want policy to change. We don't want tinkle-down economics. We want percolate-up economics from the grassroots level. I was out in Vermont not long ago with our friend Bernie Sanders, now in the U.S. Senate, and it was a political event. The guy came up wearing a political button. It was the best one I ever saw. I said, wearing a button is not enough. We can't be a nation of button wearers. We've got to get a little stouter. No. The late, great Southern humorist, Louis Grizzard, said something that we in the South always have known to be true, and that is, there's a great big difference between being naked and being naked. Naked means you've got no clothes on. Naked, that means you've got no clothes on and you are up to something. Grassroots Democrats, we must get naked. Get naked. It's time for us not just to be progressive. We've been progressive for a long time. We've got to become aggressive again, because the powers that be have turned radically regressive, running roughshod over us. This year, starting with Robin Carnahan, we the people have got to push back against the greed heads and the boneheads, the downsizers and privatizers, the bosses and big shots, the bastards and the bullshitters who are stealing our democracy and stomping on our middle class. I'll leave you with this thought. I know you here in Missouri can appreciate it. It's from my old Aunt Eula, who was a farmer up in Northeast Texas, a tenant farmer up there, her husband Ernest. And back when I was but a boy, it was around 1950, something big happened in Fannin County, Texas, and it was that power lines came into that county for the first time ever. Electricity, thanks to the New Deal, thanks to big bad government, we got actual power, electricity. And that was a big deal for Eula, because what it meant was she could put a pump in the creek and move water into her house.
For the first time.
For the first time ever. And one day I was there, and there was a big brouhaha, a big problem, because the water coming out of the sink in the house was all murky. It was just filled with sediment and stuff, and the men were standing around looking at it and scratching their butts and, you know, saying, I don't know, what do you think? What's going on here? And my Aunt Eula turned to me and she said, Jim, the water won't ever clear up till we get the hogs out of the creek. Isn't that our problem right there? The hogs are in the creek, fouling our economic, political, and environmental waters. And, you know, you don't get a hog out of the creek by saying, here, hog, here, hog. But put your shoulders to it and shove it out of the creek. And that is what Robin Carnahan's campaign represents for y'all and for all the good people of this country. Let's put our shoulders together and put her in the United States Senate. Thank you so much.